God be praised, friends. It is the Passover of the Lord. And because Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us, we can celebrate this feast of our salvation with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth as we meditate on the eternal plan of salvation, which was gradually revealed first to Israel and then to the entire human race by the Word of God, the eternal Word of God, the written Word of God, and the incarnate Word of God, Jesus Christ. But when we read the account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in all four Gospels, what we find among his disciples in the first hours and days after Christ walked out of his grave is not clarity and conviction about the gospel. Instead, we see among them confusion, uncertainty, misunderstanding, unbelief, and a failure to recognize a man they had known intimately for years. The surviving 11 apostles, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the sister of the Blessed Mother, Salome, the mother of James and John, and the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, each and every one of them was in some way stupefied by the risen Lord and could not understand the claim that his tomb was empty. More than that, the Apostle Thomas demanded physical evidence that he could touch as a condition for accepting the truth of the resurrection. And this was despite the powerful testimony of the other apostles who had already seen the risen Lord. And since the Lord Jesus had clearly explained to all of these people on several occasions that he would be killed and would then rise from the dead, we must wonder, why did they all find it so difficult to accept what they were seeing? But who can truly blame them? Never before or since that blessed day has anything like the resurrection occurred on this earth. And so it is no surprise that men and women today are skeptical of our claim that Christ's tomb has been empty since 3 days after his death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a singular event in human history, indeed in all of cosmic history. And it is the pivot on which all of time turns. After the risen Christ first appeared to his disciples, it would take them another 7 weeks to understand fully and be changed deeply by his resurrection. And even at his ascension, some of them still doubted, and none of them were yet ready to hear or to bear witness to other people that Jesus Christ is Lord. That would require the Pentecostal fire of the Holy Spirit, the glorious gift of the risen Lord to his new church. But once that gift had been received, then all of the disciples would be sent as martyrs in the world, meaning witnesses to the truth and the power and the glory of the new life of grace revealed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection, friends, was staggering news then. It is staggering news now and always and everywhere. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is good news. That is, it is the gospel of man's everlasting redemption. The eternal Word of God, by whom we were made, and who became flesh in the womb of a virgin, suffered and died to redeem us from the grave, and then rose victorious over sin and death to reveal to all the nations the truth of God the Father's eternal plan of salvation. And that plan is this: the human race was not made for death. We were made for everlasting life and perfect peace in the unbounded glory of divine life. We were made to live eternally in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity, sharing the divine nature of Him who shares our human nature. But we lost these gifts in man's fall from grace. The recovery of our dignity as the children of God is possible only because what the human race lost in our rebellion against the Creator has been restored by the obedience unto death, even death on a cross, of the risen one, whose name is above every other name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what Christianity is. Not a set of rules to be kept in a futile effort to join the right club, not a list of doctrines to be memorized so that we can pass a test, not a happy myth to which we cling in the vain hope that it will give us strength to face the hardships of life. No, Christianity is the offer of friendship with the Lord Jesus, friendship that comes by living according to his gospel, because we come to love him who first loved us and chose us to be instruments of his grace for others, so that they will know why they exist and how they can find happiness in holiness, both now and forevermore. And once we have become friends of Christ, then we will want to live joyfully according to the saving doctrine and the eternal moral law, which the Lord Jesus still teaches us today in his holy church. But remember, the Lord Jesus did not die and rise to new life to make bad men good or good men better. No, Christ died and revealed the resurrection to make dead men live. And we are all dead in our sins until we have received the life of grace through faith, hope, and love. These three supernatural virtues are poured into us at our baptism, the remembrance of which is central to our celebration of the resurrection today. Just like the apostles and all the others who beheld the risen Lord, we have been made witnesses to the resurrection by our baptism, and we have been sent to everyone we meet to introduce them to the Lord Jesus and invite them to become his students and his friends. This we do by teaching them everything that Christ commanded us and by showing them his law of love, which is revealed in the sacraments of divine worship, in the service of those in need, in the study of Holy Scripture, in the way of prayer given to us by the Messiah, and in the way of life that flows from knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, anyone who has ever attempted to live this way knows how hard it is and how often we fail. But even in our sins, we find only mercy. Every time we go to confession, the grace of our baptism is made new. And every time we go to Mass and worthily receive the Most Holy Eucharist, our sins are forgiven, and we are nourished unto everlasting life and strengthened to fulfill the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that is why the renewal of our baptismal promises is at the center of this Mass on Easter Sunday of the Lord's resurrection. At our baptism, Jesus Christ called us each by name to follow him in the way of the cross. By our baptism, we died with Christ so that on the last day we could rise with him and share his glory. In our baptism, we were born again by water and the Holy Spirit so that we could be nourished every Sunday by the Most Holy Eucharist and live every day the life of the new creation through our saving union with the Lord Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through his gospel. God be praised, friends. It is the Passover of the Lord, and Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. For Christos en esti, alithos en esti, Christ is risen, truly he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.